Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN. Oh, that's the Cars in a song called Drive. What a coincidence. We've got a guy on the air now who's going to talk about automobiles. That would be Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive Publisher. You are the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive is what I'm trying to say.
That's what they tell me, yeah.
You know, and sometimes I have trouble saying stuff, Tom. I just got to say that's just the way it is. Nothing I can do about it, but I'm here and I'm giving it my best shot. All right, so what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about this $200,000 Cadillac?
Yeah, that might be much more expensive. It's interesting, it's exciting, and it's a little strange. But Cadillac, I think a lot of people may have heard, has plans to be all electric by the end of the decade. They want to sell only electric vehicles. And one of the things they want to do is build an all-electric flagship to call attention to this initiative. So this vehicle, and we don't know that much about the vehicle. We know it's going to be a sedan. We know it's going to be very expensive. We know it's going to be called Celestique. But they're talking about hand-building this vehicle and selling it for anywhere between $200,000 and
$400,000.
What? Yeah, which would easily make it the most expensive Cadillac ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
I mean, $200,000, $400,000, that's price tags that, you know, I used to associate with things like Bentleys and Rolls-Royces, but not a Cadillac.
Yeah, and that's the association they want. They'll still be selling vehicles under $100,000, but I think they just need to sort of polish the crown a little bit, and that's what they're trying to do here. They're going to limit production. The number I keep hearing is about 400 units a year.
Okay,
yeah. So that will keep it unique, that will keep it exclusive, and that will help support the price.
But, you know, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it starts depreciating.
Man, I hope not a lot. That's.
I mean, Cadillac's not the only automaker who's obviously rolling all the dice on electric vehicles. And we've talked about this before, but is there any... You said you don't know that much about it, so there's no possible way you would know what the... potential range of this automobile would be on one charge of its battery?
We can guess. This is going to be a large car, and Cadillac's Ultium, General Motors, I should say, Ultium proprietary battery chemistry is supposed to be pretty good. So if we put two and two together, if they've got space for a big battery, something on the order of 100 to 125 kilowatt hours, this vehicle should have about 350 to 400 miles of range.
Which still... Okay, it's 350, 400 miles of range, but then you have to recharge the darn thing. I mean, it's still not as convenient as a gasoline-powered automobile, if you ask me. I mean, I understand the advantages of it, and I'm intrigued by it, but still, I mean, to make a commitment to have your entire line of an electric vehicle... and have that kind of range without any infrastructure as to, you know, where do I charge up, so to speak? Do I run an extension cord into an outlet at Walmart? I mean, how do I get this thing going again? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, your point is well taken, and that's why it's luxury makers that are going to be making these commitments first. And we've heard from Volvo and Cadillac and Jaguar claiming that they're going to be, by the end of the decade. Jaguar's talking about by 2028, which is interesting. But the people who can afford these vehicles, we're talking about high-end vehicles, probably live in a standalone house or some sort of high-end townhome where they can arrange for charging at home, which makes everything so much more convenient. It's when you have to charge away from home that things get a little bit tougher, and I think that's why we're going to see demand for EVs slow down a little bit as they become more mainstream.
Yeah, and if someone has that much money, perhaps this isn't the only automobile they own.
Great point.
They've got a good old-fashioned gasoline-powered auto parked in the back of the garage just for those long trips with the family where they don't need to stop and recharge every 300 or 400 miles.
Right.
Who else is getting into this electric vehicle world?
All the luxury makers are pretty firmly committed. A lot of vehicles from Mercedes, BMW, Cadillac's launching the Lyriq, its first all-electric crossover right now. Those are probably in showrooms, if anything's in a showroom. Yeah. Volvo has committed, Jaguar has committed, and we're going to see more, too. General Motors, which is the parent company of Buick, Chevrolet, Cadillac, and GMC, very committed to EVs right now, and they've got a lot of stuff coming out in the near future.
It's a 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. We're talking to Tom Appel, Consumer Guide Automotive's publisher. You know him. You know he knows what he's talking about. And we'll take a break and do some more here at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker, 918. Yeah, we're on the Autobahn again with Kraftwerk, and we're talking automobiles, not the Autobahn, with Tom Appel, who's the Consumer Guide Automotive's publisher. So we were talking about a really expensive Cadillac that's a couple of years away, an EV.
Yep.
Somewhere between $200,000 and $400,000. And then I got an article here at the other end for $27,590. It's the Bolt, but it only has a range of 259 miles. And there's the Chevy Bolt is in the news for some reason. What is that?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Chevrolet redesigned the Bolt just in time for the vehicle to be recalled for battery fires. So there were I think a total of 8 battery fires, but they recalled and are in the process of replacing every battery with their new technology batteries. And this is great news for people with older Bolts because the new battery actually has greater range. But the funny story here, the interesting story here is this. This is exactly the time when Chevrolet needed an affordable electric vehicle out there, and it wasn't out there when people were interested in EVs, when gas prices were spiking at right. $5 and even $6 in some markets. So General Motors is keen to get EVs out in people's hands. It wants to be counted as a manufacturer of EVs just when it's going to bring out really expensive things like the Lyriq we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah.
So they lowered the price, but then they went and lowered the price again. So for 2023, they're knocking $6,000 off the price of the car. For 2022 models, they're applying a $6,000 rebate. This is the news now. No. For people who purchased a vehicle in 2021, they're going to mail them back money to compensate them for having paid more for the Volt, for the Bolt than it now costs.
Let me get this right.
Yeah.
You buy a car, you buy this Chevy Volt a couple of years ago for X amount of dollars. Chevy decides now they're going to come out and lower the price by $6,000. And to keep everybody happy who bought the Bolt in previous years at a higher price, they're going to send them $6,000.
That's correct. That is
Damn,
the amazing part of the story.
I wish I had a Bolt in the garage. my God, that's unbelievable.
And I think it'll go some distance to keeping people happy. The goodwill here is immense. And there is a practical reason for it, too. If you purchased a 2021 and you paid full price for that vehicle then, and they were more expensive, your resale is about to take a huge hit if newer vehicles cost less.
You know,
so to some degree, it's compensation for that.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that, and this has been in the news a while, that dealers are paying a premium for used automobiles. They want to buy your car. But this is sort of the opposite. We're going to give you the money for the car that you paid too much for. Here's an extra $6,000. That, you know, that is a great PR move. I mean,
It is a goodwill move, and I think it's going to serve them well. They want to be a volume EV manufacturer, and getting some of these on the road in advance is, I think, just really, it's early goodwill.
921 here at 720 WGN. John Landecker talking to Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. You know, Tom, we've talked in the past, over the past few couple of years, and with the pandemic and the supply chain, I still drive by car dealerships. And, you know, let's say, I'm not going to say a make, but let's say it's a dealership that, you know, it's an ex car dealership, all right? And you would expect to see those cars in the lot next to the street so that you would see the cars that this dealership, those cars that they sell. But they're not there. There's every other make of automobile. that they've purchased at car auctions or somewhere. They've gone over the country, brought trying to get automobiles on their lot that aren't the brand that they represent, but they're trying to find anything to sell. Am I right?
You're exactly right. Yeah, there are more used cars now on new car dealer lots than there are new cars.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the supply chain situation is still messed up. We keep hearing that it's getting better, but and that the day supply of vehicles on the ground is supposed to be improving. But right now, this time of the year, there should be about a 90-day supply of cars on dealer lots, and there's something like 24 or 25 days supply. But whereas some Japanese manufacturers have something like a 1 or 1.5 day supply, which literally means vehicles are being unloaded from trucks and delivered to people immediately. They're never being parked on the lot.
Wow. It's sort of a game I play. Or an observation. It doesn't matter what dealership it is or who they're, what manufacturer they're aligned with. I always check out to see if they have any of their cars. And it's always way more used automobiles that you would assume would never be at the forefront of this parking lot out of a car dealership, and yet they are. And I've heard, I have some friends who are in the automobile industry, and I've also heard that the, you know, some of the things that I never would have thought about, transporting the automobiles via truck to the dealership itself, getting that delivery apparently can be quite arduous. And you, in doing so, the operators that are out there who provide that service are, shall we say, a wide variety of individuals, if you know what I mean?
One other thing, too, is there's a shortage of people who can drive over-the-road trucks,
right?
Which is an issue. My wife actually works in logistics, and I hear about this all the time from her. But part of the problem with the supply chain right now is delivery.
Yeah. I mean, and getting the cars to the dealership, it's the one thing that, you know, maybe the manufacturer does up its output, but then getting it on a truck and getting it to the actual dealer, that can be, I heard some really strange stories. I mean, I don't want to get into the details of it, but dealing with people that are maybe not the most upright business people, but they're the only ones that are doing it, and you're sort of forced to deal with the people who can bring you the vehicles. And like you say, there's a shortage of those people. So
there is.
You got to do what you got to do, I guess. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, this will go away. But what do you think? A couple of years, maybe? Maybe three? Before?
I'm hearing now normalcy by the end of 2023, but okay. Things should feel a lot better by the end of this year. Now, that's what I'm hearing, and people keep saying pretty much the same thing. It's like we're kicking the can down the road because yeah. We never seem to get closer to a greater car supply. And, in fact, last month was one of the worst months car sales-wise in years, simply because dealers don't have anything to sell.
That's right. Have you driven anything recently that's noteworthy that you could tell us about?
I have. I just spent time. I'm driving it right now, actually. It's in my driveway. I'm driving the Kia EV6. This is Kia's all-electric compact crossover. It's a delightful car. It's radically styled. I think people would know it immediately if they saw it. But one of the nice things about it is it's a clean-sheet design, and it takes very good advantage of being electric. The floors in the vehicle are completely flat because there's no transmission hump. There's no drive right. shaft. There's no exhaust right. pipe. And they push the dashboard forward because there's really nothing forward of the car. So you have all sorts of space in the vehicle, an amazing amount of space. It's very quick. And the range that we're seeing right now is right around, in the warm weather, which should be clipping things. I think we're still seeing about 275 miles of range.
When you say it's clipping things, I'm ignorant. What does that mean?
Cold weather and hot weather are bad for batteries, and batteries like about the same temperatures that humans do.
Okay.
So when it gets warm, like 95 degrees, and the car's parked out in the sun, right. that would have an impact on range, or should have an impact on range. But we're not seeing too much of an impact in the heat.
Okay. Tom, always great talking to you, and I look forward to doing it again. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. Thank you.
You betcha.